Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Hi, welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network online, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to that podcast in your podcast app on your phone, podcast app, podcast player, whatever you need. You can listen to the show anywhere you want to. All right, this week we're going to check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods. We'll also hear from Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Lucas Mertens will check in fresh from his Alberta whitetail trip. He's up at Haybale Heights Campground Resort on Devil's Lake. We'll find out about the ice conditions on Devil's Lake. They're getting the snow bears fired up right now, by the way. Also, Rachel Bakeberg from the Appleton Veterinary Clinic. All right, and then we're going to start off the show here with Garrett Sveer from Slab Seeker Fishing here in just a second to find out some more ice conditions around the state. This week's show brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. If you want to plan a trip to get up and do some fishing this winter at Lake of the Woods, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Also by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake, haybaleheights.com. You can book your snow bear trip on the website there. Find out what those are all about. Also by the Sturgeon Spectacular coming up in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin on Lake Winnebago, February 5th through the 10th. They have so much to do out there. Even if you're not going to try to spear a sturgeon, if you don't have your tag, the deadline to get a tag is October 31st. But it's like deer camp on ice, good times, fdl.com/SS. And also by Prairie Sportsman. The new season of Prairie Sportsman on Pioneer Public Television starts January 27th. And you can check your guide and local listings to find air times in your region as the show airs all over the state of Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, some Wisconsin and Iowa in there too on the various public broadcasting channels, or go to prairiesportsman.org. And our first guest this week, we did an episode of Prairie Sportsman last year up on the North Shore chasing steelhead and the tributaries up there. It was one of the funnest episodes I've done. A really fun fishing trip. Hard fishing that day because of the conditions, which to me, sometimes that just makes it that much more exciting. Garrett Sveer from Slab Seeker Fishing joins us now on the radio show. Garrett, how are things?
Hey, going good, Brett. Thanks for having me on, buddy. I appreciate that. Yeah, I've actually, they re-aired the episode of Prairie Sportsman last week, and so I got 6-7 calls about guide trips, so that was great. People are getting excited about spring and going up and doing some steelhead fishing. So
perfect. That's, you know, awesome.
The day we were out, conditions were pretty rugged, and that was kind of my fear about the show when we aired it, is just how high the water was, that people are going to be like, oh my goodness, this is crazy, and you know, it would kind of scare them. But you know, most of the time when we're going out doing it, we're not fishing that high and dirty of water. Yeah, that was by far the highest water trip I had all year.
of course.
We caught some fish, and I think we made good TV. I hope everybody that's called me seemed to really enjoy it. So, but you know, most of the time that's a trip that really anybody can do. I had a lady out this past spring who was you know, very pregnant. I'm forgetting how far along, but you know, just about to give birth, and I got her onto the water and her husband, and they hooked a bunch of fish. And well, I had a 7-year-old kid that landed a 29-incher.
Jeez.
You know, I'd never casted a spinning rod before, and landed a 29-inch steelhead. You know, I'd only used like Zebco push button style reels before. Yeah, it was an adventure when you came. Some of those crosses on the river were you know, your knees were knocking for the time. Oh, yeah. My knees were knocking, and I do it every day.
For sure. Well, I wasn't just crossing it, but it was crossing it with, you know, $10,000 worth of camera gear on our back. That's what made me more nervous about it.
And kind of a funny part about that, too, that I think back on was the cameraman that we had, Lance, to it. I mean, he was tough. That's about as extreme of a cameraman as that you could come across.
Yeah. And he was filming a show for Fox Pro in, I think they're in Montana, and he got bit by a rattlesnake. So that guy is pretty tough.
Yeah. We had several crosses where, you know, I think, you know, he was probably like, really, we're going to cross it right here? But he never said it. He just grabbed his stuff.
It was a lot of fun. One of my favorite shows from last season of Prairie Sportsman. You can view that episode again on our Facebook page. Search for Prairie Sportsman on Facebook. You'll be able to find it and see it on there, or else at prairiesportsman.org as well. You can watch the entire last season and all our episodes there too, and get ready for the new season starting up January 27th. on Pioneer Public Television. Garrett Sevier, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio. He guides for steelhead up on the North Shore. And then also, you guide for ice fishing, what, in Otter Tail County, Garrett?
In Otter Tail County, yeah. I do panfish in Otter Tail County in the winter. Slab Seeker Guide Service is the name of my fishing operation. And we're probably the only panfish-specific operation in the entire Midwest. There's not too many anyway that I can think of. You know, walleye is really the state fish, but we have kind of carved out a niche focusing on big panfish. And, you know, the area that I guide in the winter, Otter Tail County, we call it panfish paradise. And we've actually gotten some, you know, some press from In Fisherman and a few different magazines, and they've rated Otter Tail County in the top 10, in the top 10 places in the country to come and catch a trophy caliber bluegill. I think we're about number 6 or 7 on their list the last time they made one of the best places in the country to catch a true world-class trophy bluegill of a lifetime. And our crappies are giant too. They don't get the respect they deserve, I don't think. You know, we had several customers kind of knocking on the door of crappies that were just real close to 2 pounds last year.
Jeez.
Like 15 inch, 14 and three quarters to 15 inch big, heavy fish. And these fish are big, heavy, old, slow growing fish. You know, our growth season in Minnesota is so short compared to what they get in the South. But slow growth, can lead to really old fish. You know, the faster they grow, they don't live nearly as long. And so these fish are really old. And when they're old like that, they're going to be really heavy too. So some pretty special pan fishing in Minnesota too. And I don't think that necessarily gets the credit that it deserves a lot of times.
Well, and you obviously practice catch and release with those big old fish, and we could get into that more in a future episode about the benefits of that. I just shared a picture on Facebook from the place I go in Saskatchewan where Trevor Montgomery caught a 51-inch pike this summer, and he was looking through some old photos from 2012. He caught the same pike 6 years earlier, 4 inches shorter. And 6 years earlier. So in 6 years, it grew 4 inches and it got over that 51 inch mark. And it just goes to show you what catch and release can do. And Garrett, we just have
unbelievable. What a special fish. Yeah. And I know, and that's something I'm passionate about too. I serve on the DNR panfish work group here in Minnesota, and that's kind of our mission, is to promote catch and release on big trophy panfish in Minnesota. Not that you can't eat some panfish. My wife and I love to eat panfish. I think everybody does, but it's just about selective harvest and keeping, the right fish and keeping those big genetic monsters around to keep those good genetics in the lake.
Well, we just have about a minute left, Garrett. I don't mean to cut you off there, but I wanted to talk about what kind of ice are you seeing out there, and is the bite pretty good right now?
You know, the bite's good. I think it's going to get better. This year we had ice so early. It hasn't been a typical spots that I'm always finding fish early ice. But we've been finding some fish. It seems like I've been doing better in basin areas than I have on cabbage and coontail edges, which is kind of weird. Early ice, usually those weed edges are loaded with fish. But, you know, our best bites have been in some deeper basin areas. And I think those fish are going to move into the weeds here. I think it was just things froze up so early, the fish aren't necessarily doing what you're expecting them to do too.
Sure.
But no, the bite's still really good. Ice conditions are good. We have anywhere from 10 and a half inches of ice down to, some spots, 2.5-3 inches of ice. So be careful where you go. The spots that are a little sketchy have had geese in them.
Oh,
and so, yeah. I stuck my chisel through 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, on a spot. And I was just on a lake before that had 9.5 inches of ice. And then I talked to an old guy when I was loading stuff back up in my truck. And he said, "You guys heading out, be careful out there." He said, "I seen there was a bunch of geese out there keeping that spot open." I said, "Yeah, I found that spot." And I couldn't really find a way around it. And so there's still a couple lakes that I haven't, got to where I want to go on them too, because there was a couple of those sketchy spots to geese. So be careful when you're headed out there. Don't just hop on an ATV or a snowmobile and think you can go wherever. Make sure you're checking and being really alert. But people are taking machines now in Otter Tail County, and you can get around the majority of the places. Just use extreme caution.
Or just hire Garrett to take you out.
Yeah, absolutely. That's okay too. We're out there scouting and finding safe routes to fish every day. So that's something that you could do as well. I fish out of portables. I don't run permanent houses. But it's a fun trip. We move people around and shuffle houses around to keep you on an active bite all day. And it's a nice run and gun trip. And we still keep you warm and comfortable inside clam portables when we're doing that.
How do they reach you?
My website is slabseekerfishing.com. Otherwise, my cell phone number is 320-428-5174.
Garrett Sphere, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thanks, Brad. Appreciate you having me.
Coming up, Joe Henry, Lucas Mertens, Doug Lear, and Rachel Bakeberg from the Optum Vet Service gives us some tips on keeping your dog healthy in the field, all coming up on Sporting Journal Radio.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear a sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman. All right, welcome back to Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network or by using that podcast app on your phone or iTunes. Haybale Heights Campground and Resort is getting you on the lake at Devil's Lake and probably doing it earlier than they maybe ever have. We're going to talk to Lucas Mertens right now from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort about that. But first, Lucas, you're back in the United States, a little under the weather. Did you catch something in Canada?
Well, I don't know. Just got a little bug going around. You know how that goes. All these kids get locked up in the schools this time of year, and it just seems like that stuff comes on out.
Yeah. There's really no way of avoiding it. So you probably got it back in the States, but you were up, what, deer hunting up there?
Yeah, we were up whitetail hunting with Take 'Em Outfitters up in Alberta, Canada there. He's a good buddy of mine. We've been going up there for 6 years now, and just a good time to get away and relax and relax before we get busy with ice fishing, which is here. We have snow bears out on the ice as we speak, and it's cold today, so we're making lots of ice, 8 to 12 inches, maybe a little more in spots, maybe a little less, but overall, a real good ice pack coming along so far.
And this is earlier than normal for you having those out, right?
Yeah, typically we really don't get going until maybe after Christmas. Mother Nature came a little earlier this year, and we have some clients that are coming in, and we're going to start fishing and give it heck.
I mean, when the sun shines, right? You got to get out there and...
That's right.
So were you were making all this ice, and it's from the sounds of it everywhere, they're making fairly decent ice, it sounds like. I know I did see some pretty rough ice and some pictures on Mille Lacs here recently, but for the most part, it sounds like everybody's making some pretty good ice. Were you getting phone calls saying, hey guys, I want to fish Devil's Lake, let's go?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of phone calls, people calling, wanting to know what the conditions are, if they can, you know, come up this weekend or next week. And I think everybody's just got the fishing bug a little bit earlier, which is good. That's fine. Give us a little bit more time out there. There's virtually no snow. We just have a dusting of snow. So Yeah, ice conditions are coming along nice. There's a few pressure ridges popping up here and there. Got to be careful with those. But all in all, it's setting up to be a great winter, you know, as far as ice pack.
Lucas Mertens, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. He's with Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. They have a fleet of snow bears that they're putting on the ice already. Although, are you going to be down in Fargo for the ice fishing show this weekend?
Yes, we will. We'll be down there. We'll be at the Shields Arena. We got a booth set up. We're teamed up with Glacier Lake Snow Bears out of Sisseton. So you can't miss us if you're down there. All you got to do is look for the snow bears. And we're going to talk fishing and going to show off the snow bears, kind of show them why they are, you know, the best of the best to be fishing in, and just talk a lot of fishing.
Yeah, explain. I know most of our listeners probably know what a snow bear is, and I know we've talked about it many, many times here on the radio show, but why don't you, for people that don't know that are listening right now what a snow bear is, give people an idea of what they can expect.
Sure. Well, a lot of people, they think that it's something we're going to take them out on the ice with and then drop them off into something else, but it's actually a machine, and you stay right in the machine. It's kind of like being in a boat on the ice. You got a guide who's driving it for you and taking you to your spots, and it lowers down right to the ice. We use electric augers. We got all kinds of different setups that we use, but we drill the holes right through the floor of the snow bear, and we see what is down there. We're running all Vexlars in there, so we can kind of tell what's going on. And the nice thing about the snow bear is it's very comfortable. You will fish in a pair of boots, jeans, and a sweatshirt. If you're cold, you just turn the furnace up a little bit. If you're warm, you just turn it down a little bit. Also, it's so simple to move. It doesn't matter if it's windy, what the temperature is. If you just want to pick up and move 100 feet, or if you want to go to the other end of the lake, it literally takes about a minute by the time you tell the guys to reel up their rods and get everything kind of put away. By then, the operator's got the thing up in the air, and you're off to your next spot.
Which, on Devil's Lake, when you're chasing perch around, it's helpful to be able to be that mobile that quickly, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, some days you can sit there and grind them out, but some days you might just have to even make a 50-foot move. You know, we'll just kind of slide up or then slide back and kind of make kind of a circle if the bite kind of dies off. And that seems to help a lot. You just, that little bit is, well, everybody knows ice fishing. The guy in one side of the ice house can be catching all the fish, and the guy on the backside isn't. And that's what we see. You know, we'll see some of the holes in the snow bears even hotter than others. So that's why it's just nice to be able to move. And we have a large fleet of those out there now. So all our guys are working together. Everybody's trying to find fish and make everybody who's here happy.
Lucas Mertens, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio with Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, Devil's Lake. How has the bite been so far this year?
The walleye bite has been really good. We're just getting out. Like I said, we got some snow bears out today. I've heard some locals catching some nice perch. So we're going to get in on some of that action. And I don't foresee anything drastic or any different change from what we've seen last year. And last year we had one of our better bites in the past few years. So I think it's going to be good. There's really no reason to indicate why it wouldn't be so.
So if somebody called up, heard this show here this weekend and said, I've got a couple of days off during the week here. I want to maybe get up and fish Devil's Lake. Could they get in a snow bear yet this week?
Oh yeah, we can always make room for some more guys. Yeah,
perfect. All right, and so that's is it. You hear about some of the other lakes being a day bite or a night bite. Is it pretty good fishing throughout the day up there?
Yeah, our perch, our walleyes will bite that first hour in the morning and that last hour in the evening. You'll get a random walleye that'll bite here and there. But the perch, typically when the sun comes up, they'll get going real hard. And they'll probably bite good until 1, 2 o'clock. And then it seems like they slow down. I mean, every pot of fish is different. You can be on fish on one side of the lake and they're not biting. And you can talk to your buddy on the other side and they're biting, you know, really well. So it just kind of depends on the pot of fish that you're on. And that, like I said, that varies just from spot to spot.
Sure. And that's why it's nice to be mobile, and you're not going to catch fish if you're not out on the lake. So it's good to be out there and be comfortable. And I know I've mentioned this many times on the show before, Lucas, too, but when we came up and fished out of those snow bears a couple of years ago, it was, 47 below zero or something.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous like that. And we were, there was times I was fishing in a t-shirt inside that thing. The only time I had to put on a jacket is when I had to go outside and experience Mother Nature for a minute or two. But man, it's nice. And you added more snow bears, so you can accommodate some more people. You got cabins up there, right at the campground, right at the lodge there, a resort, and it's on the east end of the lake. So if people wanted to come up and fish, you pretty much run until, you'll run these things through winter until you don't have safe ice anymore, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Whenever it's getting a little iffy there, we'll pull the plug. But a lot of times we're going mid to late March on the bite. So it gets to be a long season, but it goes fast. I mean, here we are. We're just talking about starting, and we'll blink our eyes, and then the season will be over.
I know. I can't believe it. It's almost Christmas already, and I know some people like winter to be short. And for those people, winter is usually really long, but for those of us that like to get out and enjoy it and do things like this, it never seems like there's enough time to do it. So
I
got to get a trip to Devil's Lake planned so I can go sit in one of those snow bears this winter. And everybody should get up and try, especially if they haven't fished out of a snow bear before, come up and experience at Hay Bale Heights Campground Resort in Devil's Lake. Lucas Mertens, if people want to book a trip up there this week or this winter, what can they do?
They can call me direct, 701-351-3130. They can check out our website, haybaleheights.com, or they can look on Facebook and kind of see what the latest pictures and news is.
That's Hay Bale Heights Campground Resort, haybaleheights.com. Lucas, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thank you.
The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Hay Bale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Hi, we're back on Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to the podcast and iTunes. I'm sitting at the Appleton Veterinary Clinic in Appleton, Minnesota, smelling some fresh pheasant here that's been cooked, and so we're going to get done with this interview so we can eat some pheasant. I got Rachel Bakeberg here joining us from the vet here. And Rachel, this is a pretty busy time of year for you, isn't it?
Absolutely. You have the normal flux of animals, and then you have the influx of all the hunting dogs that we see this time of year, it really increases our caseload exponentially.
And it's because of those pheasants that we're smelling, right? It's a lot of those pheasant hunters. That's, you probably see more dog injuries from upland hunters, from pheasant hunters, than any other type of hunter out there, I bet.
Absolutely. Definitely the land birds are a little bit more high risk as far as trying to get to them, and the speed and the terrain that you're going over create a lot of obstacles and hazards out there.
Barbed wire is probably number one.
I would say yes, barbed wire. We do get a lot of just down trees and things like that, roots and stems that can cause quite a bit of injury. Occasionally we get gunshot wounds and things like that as well. So,
what's the worst injury you've seen this year?
The worst injury I would say would be it was a barbed wire. It almost ripped from the mid-abdomen down through the inner thigh of a dog, just completely filleted open with a lot of loose skin torn and a lot of debris in there that we had to pull out.
So as a hunter, and I've heard of some pheasant hunters, they bring dog first aid kits, and I used to have one in my truck. I've been slacking lately. I need to get one. I know. That's why you see my dog so much. I need to do better at having some sort of first aid kit so I can do some care in the field. And I know guys that actually will bring like staplers and like heavier duty medical type gear with them out in the field. What can somebody do, say with a barbed wire or a big cut, whether it's on old machinery or a sharp stick or a barbed wire? What can a guy do immediately in the field?
The most helpful thing to do would be to get it clean right away. Apply a pressure wrap, you know, as far as to keep the blood flow at bay so nothing would be outwardly bleeding. But keeping it clean and getting it undercover is probably the best thing. Now, if it's a simple laceration where it's a straight edge and you can staple it or sew it in the field, absolutely, if the dog will allow it, I would go for that just to keep those margins opposed. But most of the time, they're so jagged, they're already dirty. Getting it clean and just getting them to us is probably the best thing you can do.
What do you recommend bringing for keeping something clean like that, or cleaning a wound out?
Most of the time, we can get like little containers of iodine cleanser or something like that. Hydrogen peroxide is a great one. Just water, actually. I mean, the saying is dilution is the solution to pollution, and it really is. You can flush water over that. I don't care if it's bottled or what, and it will be cleaner than it was before you started. So really, it's just flushing it out with about anything you have. I mean, minus pop or something like that.
Rooster lager.
Right, no beer.
Rachel Bakeberg, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio at the Appleton Veterinary Clinic here in Appleton, Minnesota, talking about dog injuries and what a guy can do to try to prevent or have some field care for their animal when they're out there hunting, because it's been a good year for pheasant hunters. There's been a lot more guys out, I think, this year, and the amount of barbed wire isn't disappearing, and I'm not faulting anybody for having barbed wire out there, but it's one of those hazards you have to run into. And I know you saw my dog Mika last week, and she's got a cut on her foot, and I hunted her this weekend, and we were walking through a grove because there was so much snow, and it was funny how it seemed like there was a band of snow that came through real heavy in some areas, less than others, and where we were, all the pheasants were in the trees. They were in these groves, and the cattails were full of snow, the grass was full of snow, so we were hunting through these groves, and I was working my dog through this grove and came across, I could see some old farm equipment, you know, rusting there in the snow, and just parts of it just barely sticking out. So I called my dog over and I tried to direct her in a way to avoid that machinery. She didn't listen to me at all, just came right up and stood right on top of it, and luckily didn't get cut. So thankfully it didn't get any worse. But you talked about what a guy can bring for cleaning cuts out, things like that. What else should somebody bring out there?
You know, I think some kind of a pressure wrap, whether it's Coban or something like that, a self-adhering bandage material is a great thing. The other problems we see during hunting season, which are totally preventable or at least minimally treatable when you're out in the field, would be cases of hypoglycemia, which we see quite often, especially in these warmer temperatures. I mean, not necessarily right now, but we were seeing some warmer temperatures through the hunting season here. And we had quite a few cases come down with hypoglycemia. So something, a simple sugar, even like a sugar packet or a packet of honey, something like that in a hunting kit would be really, really important to get into a dog if they do end up going low blood sugar. So that can actually save their life, if not have them already treated before you could get them to a clinic. That would cause them to go down and possibly basically pass out or even go into a seizure state, and can be quite life-threatening.
What are the signs of that if your dog, what should you look for in the field when you're with your dog like that?
Yeah. The number one sign would be lethargy. So they would really start calming down a little bit more than they would normally be. They might get wobbly on their feet. They might lay down.
It sounds like me after a couple of days at hunting camp.
It's right. You need some blood sugar. The beer helps that, though. So that's good. Not in the dog. Although I have had an owner have to give blackberry brandy to a dog out in the field, and it did save its life. So
okay, now you got to tell that story. Now you can't just say that without telling the story. What was the reason for that?
The dog went low blood sugar.
And that's all he had in his truck. Well, let's see. I got some brandy. Yeah. On the boat.
Okay. They were duck hunting, actually. So they were out on a small boat, and the dog had just retrieved some ducks and came back and basically got in the boat and passed out. And he kept some blackberry brandy on board to warm himself up. And so that's what he used.
Gotta love the old school duck hunters. They always have blackberry brandy. My grandpa was the same way. Rachel Bakeberg, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, Appleton Veterinary Clinic in Appleton, Minnesota here, talking about dog injuries and dog care in the field. I know we're winding down. We're getting on the backside of that season. And so much talk when it comes to upland hunting, pheasant hunting, and your dogs is heat and keeping your dog hydrated and making sure that you're not out there when it's really warm. Well, now that we're into December, what about the flip side? What do you have to worry about when it gets real cold or there's a lot of snow on the ground?
Mainly for the cold, I mean, it's just keeping them active. So if you're doing a lot of downtime, which a lot of these guys are not, I mean, they're staying active from the time they go out in the field to the time at the end of the day. So I don't know that I see a lot of hypothermia cases versus the hyperthermia when we get them too hot. But you do have to worry about terrain as far as, you know, ice cover and stuff like that. That can be really hard on feet and between the toes of the paws, just because that ice will cut in quite a bit. And then you're covering your obstacles. I mean, you're not able to see what the hazards are, you know, before they're there. So it is really a pick your spots a little bit more appropriately.
You ever see, say, waterfowl dogs that have been in the water when it's too cold this time of year?
Not for anything bad. I have seen dogs that have fallen into lakes or viaducts and stuff like that that have gotten swept under super cold water, that we've had to do some rewarming protocols for so they don't get perfusion injuries. But most of the time, our waterfowl dogs, I think they tend fine. A lot of guys wear like those neoprene vests and stuff like that to keep them warm. So, and they do really well.
Yeah, I think it'd be, I've never really had a day. I mean, there's been a couple of days when we've hunted around water where I've said, I don't think I'm going to hunt my dog today. But she's hunted in some pretty cold water and never really seemed to bother her too much. Some of those dogs are pretty tough.
Absolutely. And they usually have a good fat layer to keep them insulated. So that's good.
Like their masters.
occasionally, you know, our land bird dogs, the short hairs and stuff like that. I mean, they usually are much thinner dogs, so they don't have that cover. But our labs and springers and things like that that we use more for the waterfowl definitely have a little bit more of that insulation.
And they need it usually this time of year. All right, well, I know we talk dogs. You're not just dogs here. You were working with cows earlier today, right?
I was, yeah. We worked, a group of calves came through for castration and vaccinations, so.
I don't want to talk about that, I don't think. All right, well, if people want to stop by with their dog while they're out here hunting in western Minnesota, they can stop by and see you got 24-hour emergency service. The Appleton Veterinary Clinic, Appleton, Minnesota. Rachel Bakeberg, thanks for the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right, Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods and Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish when we come back.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. February 5th through the 10th in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Visit FTL.com for more information. That's FTL.com.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, welcome back to Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. This is the Midwest Radio Home for the Outdoors, heard on the Sporting Journal Radio Network across the region and also through your podcast app or iTunes. Joe Henry's with Lake of the Woods Tourism. He joins us now here on the show. And Joe, I know you were in St. Paul last weekend for the ice fishing show, and I saw an interesting video while you were down there that I want to talk about here in just a second. But overall, how was the show here this week?
Then I'll tell you that St. Paul Ice Fishing Show, it's the largest in North America. And it's really kind of interesting because, well, not only is it the granddaddy of them all, I mean, but it's a big fishing show, ice fishing show. It was great. Met a lot of new people, saw a lot of people that I knew both from the industry and people that just, you know, are thinking of fishing Lake of the Woods, do fish Lake of the Woods. Had a chance to talk about ice fishing, techniques, spots. Just really kind of a neat deal. You know, all the tackle vendors there, the retail places selling stuff, destinations, sleeper fish houses. I mean, just if it's about ice fish, I mean, the other thing that kind of cool, I saw like one company that all they have is LED lights for just about everything. And I thought that was really kind of neat, you know, whether you put them into a fish house or in your collapsible or on your truck or on your trailer. Or, I mean, just there's so many things to see. It's just kind of neat. I'll tell you the other thing that's kind of neat, Brett, is I was surprised at this, but, man, I met people that came in from Chicago, from the East Coast, from Manitoba for this show.
Oh, sure. Traveling a little bit. And just to back up a second, the LED, man, that LED industry has just exploded in the last, what, 5-10 years or whatever it's been.
It has. But they're cool. I mean, they're bright. They use low energy. They're very handy. They're small, compact, so you can use them in a lot of places. I mean, they're really, for anybody that spends any time in the outdoors, they're great.
I have just a little, I don't know if this is too much information or not relevant information or what this would be, but I have these little LED puck lights in my house and they have magnets on them and they're motion lights. So like if I get up and have to, you know, let the dog out or let myself out or whatever in the middle of the night, I don't have to fumble for light switches all over the place. I've got them strategically placed. So all I have to do is get up and walk to wherever I'm headed, and these little lights pop on, and they're on for 10 seconds or whatever they are, and then they shut themselves off. So I can walk around my house in the middle of the night and never have to turn a light switch on. It's kind of nice.
Well, it's kind of nice, too, because your neighbors can kind of see where in the house you're walking.
That's right. It looks like a little dance party going on in there. Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about the ice fishing show last weekend. And I know while you were down there, I was doing something, and I happened to go to my phone, and I saw Lake of the Woods has got a live video going on here. And I started watching Lake of the Woods Tourism. I started watching it, and it was you and Tanner Cherney, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
So tell us about these walleye wars.
Yeah. So here's the deal is that good buddy Tanner Cherney from Devil's Lake, North Dakota. And, you know, Devil's Lake is a very good fishing destination. And they have walleye as perch, you know, lots of white bass, a lot of other fish, pike. You know, they're some people, certainly Devil's Lake is a competitor in some regards to Lake of the Woods, because people choose, they're both very, very good lakes to ice fish, and people choose, hey, which one should I go to? But, you know, at the same time, we've developed a good relationship, professional relationship with both Tanner Cherney and also Susie Kenner, who are both with Devil's Lake, North Dakota. And, you know, we've always talked about, wouldn't it be fun to try to work on something together? Because, you know, in some ways we're competitors, but in many more ways, we're partners in success, we're colleagues, and we're almost celebrating ice fishing together. We're celebrating wonderful, wonderful walleye waters, and what a natural resource we both have. So Tanner is the one that actually came up with the idea of Walleye Wars. He had been to an ESTO, a travel conference down south, and he had seen where a good buddy from St. Paul had done a promo with Winnipeg when the Jets and the Wild were in the playoffs. And of course, the winner of that series would get to take over the other market's Twitter page for a day.
Oh boy.
Well, so St. Paul lost that deal, and Winnipeg got to take over St. Paul's Twitter page. That was Anna Johnson. But, you know, so he said, wouldn't it be kind of neat to do something like that? And we kind of brainstormed and we came up with Walleye Wars. So basically, in a nutshell, here's what it's going to be. What it's going to be is that on January 3rd, which is a Thursday, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Tanner is going to be in a fish house on Devil's Lake. At that exact same time, I am going to be in a fish house on Lake of the Woods. And what we're going to do is throughout the day, we're going to have a fishing contest. And throughout the day, we're going to give updates on Facebook Live. Devil's Lake will give updates on the half hour. I will give updates on the hour. So we're going to give updates on what we're catching, how we're catching them. We might have special guests join us in the fish house. We both get to use four holes. If we want to move around the lake, we can move around the lake, or we can stay in the same fish house. I mean, we're going to just really have a lot of fun with this. And, part of this is competition. Part of this is a kind of media event. And what we're hoping is, just because it's going to be kind of a neat thing just to kind of follow this all day long to see how each lake is doing. What we're hoping for is that it's going to be one of the most unproductive days ever for any ice angler, because they're going to be at work watching Facebook Live all day.
Oh, right. Okay. Not unproductive on the lake, unproductive at work.
Oh, absolutely. We're assuming a lot of people will be working on a Thursday.
Yeah, I suppose.
So, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That's Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism here on Sporting Journal Radio talking about Walleye Wars. That's Thursday, January 3rd, taking place on Lake of the Woods and also Devil's Lake simultaneously. And so it'll be on the Lake of the Woods Tourism Facebook page and the Devil's Lake. That's Devil's Lake Tourism, right? Their Facebook page?
Yeah, yep.
All right, very good. All right, well, let's talk about Lake of the Woods right now. Obviously, you've been making some really good ice. I'm assuming people are catching fish up there, Joe?
Yeah, fishing's been just fantastic, just absolutely incredible. I mean, early ice, you know, is oftentimes very good ice fishing. And I'll tell you, this year, it's just been incredible. I mean, many, many reports. I don't want to jinx anybody, but many reports of, you know, 100 fish days coming from a couple people in a fish house. Obviously, it depends on where you're at, but this time of year, those fish are pretty tightly schooled. As the season goes on, what'll happen is those fish will slide a little deeper and they'll start to spread out a little more. So you're not going to get the big numbers, but you know, with such a good population of walleyes and saugers, you know, we're going to have pretty darn good fishing all year long. Right now, it's just stupid good. I mean, it's been really, really good for most everybody's getting limits of fish. And I mean, you know, you gotta stay at it. You know, you might go a little while with not much going on, and all of a sudden, pow, 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 you know, you whack them real good. And big fish are coming in, Brett. Big eel powder coming in. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just been game on for Lake of the Woods ice fishing.
We talked last week or the week before about ice conditions being good and that the lake was very calm when it froze over. So it's a lot flatter ice this year. I'm sure you've got some pressure ridges like normal, but that the water was maybe a little bit clearer. Is that affecting the fishing? Are you getting some longer fishing hours this year?
Well, I think that always helps. I mean, you know, what happens is, you know, when it's real windy in the fall, real, real windy, and that water is all stirred up, and then if they get a real, and then all of a sudden it gets calm and it freezes with that dirty water, that water is really hard to clean up because it's so cold, is what my understanding is. So it takes a long, long, long time to clean up. Right now, it's very clean water, so we're good to go now. And that really does help for fishing, especially when you're talking Lake of the Woods, which is stained water anyway. So, you know, with that stained water, I mean, our bite is all day long. In fact, the bite is better during the day than it is at night. And so that's good. And, you know, Brett, I should mention, too, you know, the ice is really good on Lake of the Woods. Where our resorts and outfitters are fishing, you know, there's anywhere from 9 to 13 inches of ice. Now, with that being said, I do know, like, every year it's the same. It's big ice. 8 miles out, there's a real big crack, pretty wide one. That goes all the way from, you know, Pine Island all the way to Long Point. So, you know, if you get some people that want to get out on their own and they don't listen to, you know, fish with an outfitter, stay in their trail, listen to their instructions, you know, if they go willy-nilly on their own, you know, that's where they can get themselves in hot water. And that's normally how things, you know, if they ever, you know, drop a wheel in or something early ice, that's how it happens, is they're traveling where they shouldn't be traveling.
Right. Well, Joe, obviously we encourage people to go through an outfitter as much as possible. And there's so many lodges and resorts and services up there that people can contact. And how many, again, they're all listed on your website too, right?
Yeah. You know, we got about 45 resorts and such, and we got about 15 sleeper fish house businesses. All are on our website, folks. If you want to find out more, you can either search Lake of the Woods Tourism, Google it, or just check out our website. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Joe Henry, thank you very much. Also, my thanks to Lucas Mertens and Rachel Bakeberg. And of course, we started off the show with Garrett Sevier as well. And thank you for listening. We're going to check in with Doug Lear right now.
Winter ice anglers and late season hunters are urged to use extreme caution when venturing out on the ice. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. No matter the time of year, ice is never considered 100% safe. And remember, ice thickness, especially early in winter, can vary significantly on the same body of water. Edges become firm before the center. A few reminders include: snow insulates ice, which in turn inhibits solid ice formation and hides cracks, weak, and open water areas. Avoid cracks, pressure ridges, slushy, or darker areas that signal thinner ice. The same goes for ice that forms around partially submerged trees, brush, embankments, or other structures. Ice shouldn't be judged by appearance alone. Anglers should drill test holes as they make their way out on the lake, and an ice chisel should be used to check ice thickness while moving around. Daily temperature changes cause ice to expand and contract, affecting its strength. The following minimums are recommended for travel on clear blue lake ice formed under ideal conditions. However, early in the winter, it's a good idea to double these figures to be safe. 4 inches for a group walking single file, 6 inches for a snowmobile or all-terrain vehicle, 8 to 12 inches for an automobile, and 12 to 15 inches for a pickup. These tips could help save a life. Wear a personal flotation device and carry a cell phone. Carry ice picks or a set of screwdrivers to pull yourself back on the ice if you fall through. If someone breaks through the ice, call 911 immediately. Rescue attempts should employ a long pole, board, rope, blanket, or snowmobile suit. If that's not possible, throw the victim a life jacket, empty water jug, or other buoyant object. To treat hypothermia, immediately transport a victim to a hospital. That's this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.